Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
410-583-1057. We want to hear from the people. Ravens lose 27-25 to Buffalo. By the way, how do you feel about Mark Andrews not talking, not only after the game, but also the next day? Locker room cleanout. Is that a big deal to the fans? 410-583-1057. Before we go to the callers, Bone, we have a couple polls to pay off.
Yeah, let's go to the poll yesterday that's already final. Another Ravens season ends sooner than it probably should have, with their own errors and mistakes to blame. How will you most remember this one, Ravens flock? Who's primarily to blame? About 2,200 votes, 59.4% Mark Andrews, 19.7% John Harbaugh and the coaching staff, 19% Lamar, 1.9% O-line and Derrick Henry.
It's the Mark Andrews hat trick game.
Yeah, that's even O'Halloran called it that.
Yeah, well, that's what I tweeted in real time.
Yeah.
Like hockey used to have the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal and assist, a fight.
Yeah.
It's the Mark Andrews hat trick, a drop inside the 20s, a drop in the end zone, and a fumble at midfield.
Yeah. Speaking of Mark Andrews, the poll we put out today, this is live till tomorrow. IA 105.7 The Fan is how you find us and vote on it. Mark Andrews enters the final year of his Ravens deal, age 30, injured recently. Isaiah likely is eligible for an extension, already proven to be more productive than Andrews in the playoffs. If you could get a fourth round pick for Andrews, would you trade him? 59% yes, 41% no.
Interesting. We had the caller earlier, didn't want to leave.
And I went with fourth round pick because I asked some people who run football teams what they think the best case scenario for Mark Andrews trade would be, sans an extension, a cheap extension, and fourth round is probably the best they'll do.
410-583-1057. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bob's on Kent Island. Bob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I've never called before. I watch the games all the time. My question has to do with the two-point conversion call. Obviously, it was a great call. Everything was executed great except for the catch. But that was the second two-point conversion they had tried. What if they had just kicked the first or the point after on both of those? We'd have still gotten the 2 points and you didn't have to worry about dropping the ball.
But hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, you don't know. You don't
know. I know. But I just think that first call was a little early for a 2 point conversion. I mean, there was still plenty of game left at that point.
There was 90 seconds left in the third quarter. I will say this, you talk about it being a perfect call. The first one was a perfect call, too. He had Isaiah likely wide open. He just got to get the ball over Milano's hands.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but what's the statistic on the Ravens completing two-point conversions? I don't think it's all that great.
I don't have it in front of me, but it doesn't feel. I will look up.
They've only converted one this year.
Yeah, they usually, and we say it's funny with the, not funny, haha, but with the way this game ended, there was a similar play with Mark Andrews in Pittsburgh where he couldn't come down with a ball in a similar situation it was a reminder for a lot of people. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 410-583-1057. Keith is in West Baltimore. Keith, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how y'all doing over there, man? I'm sick like everybody else.
Yeah.
I was talking to my brother earlier, and I was telling my brother, I said, this was our ideal year. We talk about the quarterbacks being 28, 12 years. Then we played everybody in the playoffs even the teams that's left. I would have loved to play Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to hang up. Number two for me, I believe the fumble by Lamar changed the whole game for me, along with the pass interference. But the Ravens had Pittsburgh, didn't know what we was going to do. Buffalo was ready for the run. Lamar just didn't run enough for me.
I'm with you there. Yeah. I'm with you there.
I appreciate Todd Monson. Yep. But it seems like when we played Pittsburgh, they was lost. You see, Watt was tackling Henry four or five times. In this game.
No, oh, sorry. Appreciate the call. I accidentally hit the button. That's on me. That's on me. That's on me.
Itchy trigger finger.
I beltway bend him. I'm sorry. Itchy trigger finger.
Yeah. Look, I mean, wanting Philadelphia and this or that.
I let them get the word out.
Philadelphia was a tough match for these guys. But, I mean, look, there's certainly things they could have done differently. And there were a bunch of turning points in the game. And I
think
it starts.
That was a 10-point swing, the fumble.
Yes, I think it. I think though the first Andrews drop was a major. Look, we can go back to the third and eight, and if Brandon Stevens, you know, they found the one time they found Brandon Stevens. I mean, that's the first drive of the game for the Bills. If the Bills go three and out there and punt, it's probably a different game.
But to the caller's point, where man, this was a good. You were so remarkably healthy outside of Zay Flowers the entire year. Lamar has his best year. Derrick Henry has. Arguably his best year, most efficient year. Bateman breaks out. Marlon has his best year. There was a lot of good heading into the playoffs, and it just feels squandered.
Real quick, Ravens were 1-for-3 on 2-point conversions this year. Under Todd Monken, the last 2 years, they're 3-for-5.
Oh, interesting.
60%, 10th in the league.
Let's go to Tony in Arbutus. Tony, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank
you. Hey, man, I got one question. Do you guys really think that was a pass interference call on
no.
White?
No,
it was atrocious.
No, it was a bad call. It was a terrible judgment call.
And it was a four-point swing, too, because that was third and five. They're going to, and no guarantee he hits it, but they're going to try a 47-yard field goal if he misses that. And instead, they get a touchdown on that drive. And instead of the Ravens getting the ball back with about a minute 15 left in the first half, the Bills were able to run the entire clock out.
All right, awesome. I got one more thing, man. I mean, and on Andrew's thing, no, I do not think we should trade him.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this to Jason and Ken. I remember a couple years ago, you guys doing the same thing. He had a bad game, but you guys did the same thing to Lamar when he turned down that first offer with his mom.
You got me wrong. You got that completely wrong.
Same guy. I remember you, Jason. You said, hey, man, he can trade him. Because his mom turned down the first all, but he's like, hey, man, we need to go to another
wrong.
Team.
Wrong.
No, I remember this.
No, though. Listen. I know what I say. I know what I've written about this repeatedly. You can go Google me at CBSSports.com, or you could Google me at the Washington Post. It's there. No, what I said is, if they're going to lowball him, if they're not going to pay his worth, if they're going to wait too long and mess it up and get around to having franchise tagging him and stuff like that, then what do I think they do? I think they would would use one of those draft picks on Anthony Richardson. I would have signed the kid. When Steve Bisciotti got up like a jackass at the league meetings down in Florida. No, this was a jackass move. He sounded like and acted like a jackass when he said, I don't think the kid wants my money. When he said, I don't think the kid thinks he's worth my money. And I'm not sure what to pay him after the Watson deal. I destroyed the billionaire. So don't put words in my mouth about this. They were fools for not paying the kid whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. They cost themselves money, and they got lucky as hell that most of these billionaires are more feckless than the one who owns this team, and no one even called the kid to find out what he'd be worth. They saved DaCosta's ass that way. If someone should have, would have, could have put a poison pill together, what would they have done? They'd have drafted Anthony Richardson. They were doing work on quarterbacks because they weren't sure.
They could have gotten something done with Atlanta.
And you could call next week and we can do it all again. But never, ever, you won't find anybody on this radio station who's been more in their ass about the way they handled the Lamar Jackson situation than me. Trust me, they know it.
Desmond Ridder was too good for the Falcons to
go. They were investing on guards.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in Towson. Steve, you're on the fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not. Anyway.
I don't do parallel universes. I don't do alternative facts. I don't do gaslighting. Don't put words in my mouth.
Got my friend banned.
Yes, that guy could be banned next. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just calling. If you guys remember yesterday, I called out Lamar, but this kind of goes with it. Enough of the doom and gloom for a bit. There is a positive with Andrews' late drop, the brutal drop. You guys remember 2011, Lee Evans. You guys
brutal drop.
The late brutal drop. What happened the next year?
He was gone.
The best QB playoff run in history. Yeah. 11 TDs, no picks. Lamar could do the same thing. Let's go, guys. Have some positivity.
Hey, appreciate the call.
I'm not sure if Lee Evans talked after the game, but I did get multiple text messages from Aloysius yesterday saying that Cundiff absolutely talked after the game.
He was there.
And at the cleanup day.
Yeah.
I think Jerry, if you're listening, did Lee Evans talk? I'm guessing he probably did.
I bet he did. I would think he did. Yeah. And yeah, Cundiff, remember, Cundiff came back and Tucker took the job from him at training camp. Coming up next here on the program, the Mark Andrews of it all. What is the future for Mark Andrews? Is it possible that Mark Andrews has played his last game as a Raven? We will discuss next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the fan.
Gonna roll, flip it. Got it. Oh, the ball was dropped. He had the 2-point conversion in his hands. Andrews did not hold on.
Mark, there's nobody that has more heart and cares more and fights more than Mark. Who's, we wouldn't be here without Mark Andrews. You know, that's what you say to him. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, destiny is a decision that you make, and it's a decision is how you handle, you know, what comes in your life. You know, and. And Mark will handle it fantastic, like he always does, because he's a high character person, he's a tough person, and he's a good person. So proud of him, just like I'm proud of all the guys.
So you heard the highlight, courtesy of CBS, Jim Nantz on the call with Mark Andrews dropping the two-point conversion that would have tied the game. And then you heard John Harbaugh speak on Mark Andrews. And we play you John Harbaugh speaking on Mark Andrews because we have not heard from Mark Andrews since the game. And he did not speak after the game. He did not speak at locker room cleanup the next day. So, Jason, and you've covered many a team, is this a big deal?
I mean, I think the biggest deal here is that he's proven to be, I mean, a shell of the regular season producer in the playoffs, a shell of that version of himself. Now through a pretty big sample size. I mean, how many playoff games is enough to say, you know, he might be part of the problem and not part of the solution when it comes to one game seasons. And that's what the playoffs are. And then you compound it by the lingering contract thing, which was already going to be something we were going to be delving into this offseason. What do they do with this dynamic? Likely only goes off when Andrews isn't there. They never really go off together. This hasn't taken off. Andrews is approaching age 30. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Extending him would be kind of crazy when it's time to start paying Likely. Are there different ways to reallocate your assets? And isn't Likely the more explosive, twitchier, the guy who separates more, the guy who could maybe do even better if he was sort of the primary? And Lamar does defer to Andrews because in the regular season, Lamar's body of work with Andrews is twice as good as what he's done with anybody else he's ever thrown the ball to. But this is the same guy who in the playoffs still sees 20% of the targets, but his EPA per target in the regular season, 0.42, negative 0.46 in the playoffs. This is a guy who 46% of his catches in the regular season 46% of his targets go for first downs in a regular season. It's just 30% in the playoffs. He drops less than 5% of his passes in the regular season, 20% in the playoffs. We're now talking 9 games. Well, 8, because this is just with Lamar.
Yeah.
56%.
Eight games total, because he did not play in the Houston game
right.
Last year.
Right, yeah. So 7 with Lamar, 8 total. 56% success rate with Lamar in the regular season, 42.5 in the playoffs. 68%, sorry, Bone, of his catches go for first downs or touchdowns in the regular season, 50% in the playoffs. I mean, he's not the same guy. Balls bounce off his hands. He's not in quite the right place. Maybe the rigors of the season take their toll. Whatever it is, this was a natural inflection point. And then you put on top of it the fact that I'm sure there was accountability in the locker room with his brothers, with his teammates. I'm sure he was more torn up than anybody. But there's also an outward component of it. And if I'm running the Baltimore Ravens and this guy is part of my future and I am thinking of doing an extension with him, or I just want him to play out the final year, then somebody's going to him saying, hey, man, it would really look good for us and for you if you took a few questions here. Like, I don't think that's a too much to ask 24 hours after the fact when everybody's cooled off. So that leaves people like me to talk to other agents and say, how would you read this? And they'd say, well, maybe he's not sure he's getting a contract anyway. So maybe this is a way to kind of force the issue a little bit. Like, if you don't think they're going to pay you and you do think they're going to pay the younger guy and you've only got a year on your deal, then maybe by saying nothing, you are in fact saying something.
It was very surprising to not see him talk yesterday. And this is a very interesting situation with Mark Andrews in general. This is a very well-respected player. He's one of the more longer-tenured players on this team, has a great relationship with Lamar and the rest of his teammates, but we have seen this organization make tough decisions on great players. We've seen it time and time again, and this is sort of that inflection point of what are you going to do moving forward. It saves you $11 million in cap. It saves you $11 million in cash. Likely he's eligible for the contract extension. I'm with you. I don't envision them paying both of these guys. I'm definitely a little more torn than you two. I understand the move if they end up doing so, but He did just lead tight ends in touchdown receptions this year. From week five on, he was Mark Andrews again. But there's no escaping him coming up short in these playoff games.
I don't think you see the same separation. Not that he was ever a super explosive guy. I don't think you see the same, like any sort of semblance of breakaway speed. I do think you have to worry a little bit about durability and all the tight ends are like running backs. They're in high collision areas. You're in the middle of the field. You're in high traffic areas all the time. You're taking kill shots between the hash marks all the time. I think when it goes, it tends to go quickly, and I'd rather sell still somewhat high on him and buy somewhat low on Likely.
Yeah.
And kick some of that money to Bateman and resweeten the pot for him. I don't think if this was ever going to be a team that just destroyed you in 12 personnel thrown to the tight ends, I think they just set all kinds of records this year offensively across the board. And these two never went off in the same game.
Here's the crazy thing about Mark Andrews, and we have talked in the postseason. We've talked a lot about how this will forever be known as what we call the Mark Andrews hat trick game. It's also, statistically speaking, the best playoff game he's had with Lamar Jackson. Like 5 for 61. It's the best game he's had with Lamar Jackson. And to me, it kind of speaks volumes about the whole thing. And he's yet, and we've said it before, but if you're just tuning in, he's never had a touchdown in the postseason. He's never, and with him dropping the 2-point conversion, he's never seen pay dirt of any kind in the postseason.
It's crazy when you think he leads this franchise in touchdown receptions. 51 and has yet to score a touchdown in the playoffs. And the Steelers game this year, the second one, that was the first time he scored a touchdown against them.
I asked him about that, or I asked Lamar about that after the game, and Lamar was shocked. He was not aware. I thought, hey, we did our six-pack for the Steelers game. We thought Mark Andrews was scoring a touchdown that Steelers game. Now they road-grade the Steelers.
I thought it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
I think you have to be... If you're not going to go crazy cash over cap, and I don't think they are, then you have to look at areas where you can get both younger, better, and redistribute and reallocate resources and get better at positions besides just the one that you're in. I think Charlie Kohler is somebody who, if he can stay healthy, and I mean, these have been kind of freak things with him, I think he can continue to help you in different ways. I definitely want to bring Pat Ricard back. We'll get to our offseason plan here in a minute. But if you do those things, I don't know that you need two, whatever, $15 million tight ends in this offense. Flowers is going to be paid. Bateman, I'd rather go to him now and start sweetening the pot than absolutely lose him a year from now. Those are words I never thought I would utter.
Sure.
But
11 touchdowns this year, Bateman.
And Lamar is in such a great, like, he's playing the game at such a high level. He's making Tylan Wallace look like a clutch player. Like, I just feel like you've got to use that to address some other areas where you have definitive needs. Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler, Pat Ricard, and a third round tight end. That's still one of the strengths, I think, of this team. I think you can still look at that group and say, they've got a lot of interesting pass catchers.
Yeah, and a reminder, they found Mark Andrews in the third round. They found Isaiah Likely in the fourth round. Coming up next here on the program, Jason just alluded to it, six-pack time. Six questions / decisions facing the Ravens this offseason. Remember, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh, meet with the media tomorrow at 11. We give you our six-packs next here on The Fan. The offseason is now. The season ended on Sunday, so our six-pack, six questions or decisions for the Ravens heading into this offseason. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I put this at six because I think it's a lock, but I re-signed Pat Ricard. He's a free agent. He said after the game he thinks Lamar's going to win a Super Bowl and he wants to be a part of it. I think he wants to be here. I think they want him here. So I have it at six.
Yeah, we're simpatico. If you can't keep the fullback, what are we doing here? there's only, you know, I don't know, probably roughly 40% of the league even utilizes him. Now, he's got a unique skill set. And look, Kyle Juszczyk was a hell of a weapon here before, and I never thought Kyle Juszczyk wouldn't. They wouldn't be able to get a deal done with him.
He was not thrilled about that.
No. We had him on the show. He talked about it.
Yeah.
But it's not six because he doesn't have value. We wondered, remember, how would he fit Monken's office? He fits it real damn well. Yeah, it shouldn't be a question. It shouldn't be an issue. It should be a fait accompli. Get it done.
Number five.
Live.
I think at the very least, and this is technically special teams, but let's face it, we think of Justin Tucker as an extension of the offense. I think they need to think long and hard about how they handle Justin Tucker in the offseason and in the summer. And that might require bringing in somebody who's more than just an occasional leg to kick when he's too tired. I think they need to think about having someone here who they have to compete to get, whether as a priority street free agent after the draft, or maybe somebody who's kicked in the league. Like, I think there needs to be a different vibe and a different approach to their kicking job, rather than it just be the way they've been doing it in the past. Because it's great that what he did, the last six kicks or whatever it turned out to be, was awesome. But let's not pretend that the middle of the season, this wasn't one of the primary issues with this football
Pittsburgh
team.
And Philly were disasters, and that was him. Five for me. I'm trying to see. I'll go with this. Marlon Humphrey. What are they doing with Marlon Humphrey? What's that look like?
This is on offense.
I did the whole team. I did a list for the whole team. I misread. That happens. I did the whole team.
Okay.
I did the whole team. I'm sorry. Did it say offense?
I mean, I planned the show. I'd be shocked if it didn't, because I have defense in for later in the week.
I had decisions for the offseason. That's what I read, but I read fast.
Yeah, six biggest decisions heading into the offseason on offense.
I didn't see you on offense. Right. I lose.
Number four.
Because my four is defense, too. So what am I going to do? That's my bad. I said get a free safety so they can move.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Thank you. There you go.
The easiest one ever.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're in the communication business occasionally.
Yeah.
My four is, again, I'm doing just offense.
Yes.
You
understood the assignment.
Go back to Rashad Bateman and sweeten the pot. You guys were able to come to terms on something where he screwed himself by holding out for a couple of days, and it put him in an untenable negotiating situation. And I think you want to make things right with people like this. We talked about sweetening the pot for Van Noy. Weeks ago,
yes.
I think getting Rashad Bateman, at the very least, attainable incentives, restructure that thing, make him feel good about being a Baltimore Raven this year, and maybe beyond that.
Guess we keep rolling.
Yes.
Yeah. And we are doing the six-pack of off-season decisions for the Ravens offense, though I didn't understand the assignment. And by the way, my last three are offense, so
all
that's
right.
Good.
Okay.
So that way, Ben, let's keep going.
Number three.
I think it's time to get real about backup quarterback. I want somebody with more developmental upside. I want somebody with a little more athleticism. I mean, you just think about teams that advance in this league and what they want from their quarterback. I mean, Stafford, okay, he's in the final eight, and he's a little different, and he's not going to run no matter what. But it's hard to find teams that don't want to have athleticism throughout their quarterback room. And I mean, I just think that you got lucky this year with injuries. That's not always the case. I think it's time to have a number two who you think could actually run around, replicate at least some of the things you want to do out of the pistol, and somebody who's won more games recently than Josh Johnson.
Since I already lost, that's a good one. I like that one. My three is Ronnie Stanley. Do you run it back with Ronnie Stanley? I know he was great this year, but can you buy into him having another year? Because I can remember a year ago at this time, we thought he wasn't going to last this season, but he was great. Can lightning strike twice? Do you bring Ronnie Stanley back? If not, is Rosengarten your left tackle? What are you doing at tackle?
Number two.
Two is Andrews. Like, what are we doing here? Are you trading him? Can you really pay both him and Likely? I don't think they will. I think we've documented that pretty well during the show. They don't like paying two guys in the same position. So what is the future for Mark Andrews, and is it elsewhere?
We are simpatico. I think they need to be upfront with him if they are inclined to go this way, and shop him at the combine and trade him before that $4 million roster bonus kicks in the fifth day of the league year. I understand what he did catching touchdown passes, and I think, you know, he's playing with an unbelievable quarterback. You look at his separation, you look at his yards per route, you look at the availability and the mounting injuries. I think you have a chance to sell pretty high on him because of the touchdown totals. But I don't think, I mean, you make him play it out for a year, that's not ideal. extending him, I really don't want to do that.
No, I don't think you can.
I think it for me, it's pointing in one direction.
Number one.
This is where I put the Ronnie Stanley left tackle. What do we do here? Exactly what GG said. Do you think Rosengarten can move over to left tackle and you keep drafting right tackles? Can you convince Ronnie Stanley to stay? Does Ronnie Stanley, is there a part of him that's maybe ready to hang it up? Ronnie Stanley in a really, really crappy free agent market might just stand to make more than you're willing or able to do. Is there a short-term solution? That, to me, is something offensively they absolutely have to secure, because he had a hell of a season better than I think any of us thought he was going to have. Can he do it again with his injury history? I don't know. It's a very tricky sort of wicket.
It's interesting. I misunderstood the assignment. So this was offense and defense, and I had this number one. You didn't have this on your list at all. Monk, a month ago, like, we thought it was a lock he was getting a head coaching job. It looks a little murkier, but if he leaves, do you just give it to T. Martin? Who's the offensive coordinator if Monk walks out the door?
The other thing I did have here, but I didn't put it in. You can see it right here.
I can't read that.
Monk. What? Monk.
Yeah.
Figure out a succession plan, even if he's not getting a job this year. But I don't think he's getting a job this year, so yeah. I didn't ultimately put it in.
Yeah.
But I do think they need to be having discussions about whether that answer is within the organization or outside the organization.
To that point, though, Jason, if he doesn't get a job this year, will he ever?
I mean, he's not like he's 70. I mean, somebody's going to hire Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Perhaps, well, which I didn't think was going
to
happen.
So the tea leaves are kind of saying Pete Carroll to the Raiders and Liam Cohen to the Jags, which kind of
would leave Monk out.
Yes.
But some of these things are fleeting.
Well, different with Lamar, situation.
Yes,
I don't think it's fleeting.
Correct, but different situation. But Lou Anarumo was the hottest, you know, thing out there around the same age as Monk, and he got fired.
Look, nothing's guaranteed whatsoever. And look, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm hiring him over Liam Cohen 8 days a week. But, they need. I'm sure they do have a list. Like, I'm sure they've talked about what we'll do if this happens.
Do you think it's T. Martin?
I mean,
if it's internal, I feel like.
Well, it has to be. If it's internal.
I feel like you should be interviewing, even if you think that's which way the wind's blowing. I would still use this as an opportunity to get an audience with other teams' quarterback coaches, wide receiver coaches. I would be looking at it as a chance to pick people's brains, to bring them in, maybe identify them for down the line. So I would have a robust search, no matter what. It can't hurt. Like when the Steelers, Kevin Colbert finally left. I think most people in the league thought Omar Khan was getting that job. They made Omar Khan wait
nine
or 10 weeks. They interviewed everybody.
How long did we talk about that?
And
real time.
Yeah. Like, why not?
Yeah. I do want to apologize to the people. I did not read that fully and misunderstood the assignment.
Right,
but I thought I made a valiant comeback in the second half.
No, it's up to Bob. Only Bone could truly speak to that.
Bone, did I get close?
You did the assignment in the top three.
Yeah,
offense,
and I had Monk.
You made the comeback.
And I had Monk.
You did have Monk.
Well, coming up next, we'll get the text of the day. We'll preview tomorrow's show, and we'll get you ready. Reed and Glenn, it's book club at 6 here on The Fan. Hey, before we get to the text of the day and all that, I just want to take a minute to mention the passing of Pete Medhurst. And Pete, when I first, like years ago, when working at the station, Pete and Joe Miller used to do a weekend show here, so I knew Pete a little bit. And then I did some stuff at 106.7 The Fan for like 5 minutes, and I shadowed him. Great guy. Obviously, I think had some brain. I think it was brain cancer,
yeah.
and passed away today. And was the voice of Navy football. And I can tell you, anybody that I met, Pete never said a bad word about Pete. So it's a very sad day.
Yeah, I knew him a little bit. We would talk when I covered the Redskins for the Washington Post, and he was covering them for one of the DC radio outlets. And just someone who seemed to absolutely love sports, love being in locker rooms, love talking to athletes. Just really someone who seemed to be living his dream, and that dream was cut way too short.
Way too short, and everyone always speaks so highly of him. And I met him at the Ravens Commanders joint practice a year ago, had a good conversation with him, but everyone speaks so highly of him, and it's just such a tragic, sad situation.
Rest in peace, Pete. Tough segue, but let's get the text of the day.
Check 1, 2, check.
That's all. Oh, yeah.
Text of the Day is sponsored by Orsman Automotive. Driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from Eli in Baltimore, who says, I'm not in on trading Andrews. It's easy to say it after the ugly playoff game, but nobody was knocking him down the stretch when he was looking like Lamar's favorite guy to throw to again.
That's fine, but again, I remind you, he has yet to do much of anything in the playoffs. No. And that's since 2018.
And to be fair, that... During an offseason, I'm sure that conversation would have been brought up in multiple segments because entering the final year of his contract, likely eligible for an extension, I'm torn with it, but that conversation would have been had regardless.
Yeah, it's also, and I like your words for it, Jason, it's an inflection point because not only are you entering the last year of your contract with Andrews, but you're probably going to want to pay up Isaiah Likely. So those two things are coming at the same time.
I would want to start paying Likely before the numbers go where I think they could go in a world where he was the most experienced tight end on this roster, which I would be comfortable that process starting in 2025. This is a different world.
Yeah.
Like, we're so used to not having any offensive weapons around here where it's like, oh my God, like we're not that far removed from him having 105 catches or whatever it was. But like in an offense as diverse as this, with a quarterback this dynamic and this evolved, no one's ever catching 105 balls again. No one, like,
pick
no one's
going to
get, no one's gonna get the target share he used to get. And if it is about explosiveness and uber efficiency, which is what you hear Monken and Harbaugh talk about, Likely is the, it's not even close in terms of athleticism and breakaway speed, separation ability, yard per route. Yak, it's not close.
And you talk about the dynamic offense, you're going to want to probably give a little, as you said earlier, a little more money to Bateman. And unless there's some catastrophic injury, Zay Flowers is going to be the first Raven wide receiver to get a legit extension from the team.
Yeah, so, you're not going to have a bunch of guys on vet minimum contracts or just rookie deals that don't cost anything in your wide receiver room moving forward.
Bowen, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Tim Murray. We have Jim Bowden. We'll talk Orioles offseason MLB with him. IA Hall of Famer, Mark Viviano.
Oh, I haven't talked to Viv in a while.
Put a bow on the Ravens season. And Mike DeVito. We'll talk Chiefs with him.
By the way, do you think Jim Bowden will say that the Orioles have made penthouse moves?
No.
He gave him a B.
I don't think, yeah. I saw that.
Because I'm going, one of us, you penthouse or I, is going to ask him.
I don't think they mean, they made basement moves. They
that
made,
question.
They made like, living room
condo.
They changed the they went from like one kind of chandelier to another kind of chandelier in the living room. They didn't, the penthouse.
Yeah, that question will be asked.
Does the penthouse exist?
I don't know. They haven't found it yet. I guess Corbin Burns, maybe that trade.
Is a 1 year rental.
Yeah, is that a penthouse move? I don't know.
And then you followed it up by crapping the bed at the trade deadline and playing games instead of trying to actually get better.
Hey, they got Eloy.
Knowing you probably at that point only had 12 more Corbin Burns starts left.
We had Eloy.
Mm-hmm. Watch, he'll be better in Tampa.
Hey, he will always have that home run in Colorado. Hey, coming up next, don't change that dial. It's Glenn and Rita, book club, Chiefsaholic. You better watch it. We're discussing it next here on The Fan.